Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I was joined by Jane once again to preview our upcoming game against Geelong this week. There's a lot to discuss. We talked about the Jeff Walsh appointment, David Noble, individual players, Tarryn Thomas, Tom Powell, I wanted to talk about as well. Why isn't he playing in the midfield? And a number of other things. So I won't hold you up anymore. I'll bring on Jane right now.
All right. So I'm once again joined by Jane. So, Jane, I'll start with the appointment of Jeff Walsh that happened last week. He was obviously started during the week. Hasn't had much communication with David Noble, as far as I understand, but that will probably happen over the coming weeks. How do you see the appointment? Do you think he's there to clean house and pretty much get rid of all the deadwood, or do you think he's just there to improve the football department?
Well, probably a bit of both, I would have thought. I think it's a good move by the club, and I think it's something that needed to happen. And I think that sort of, you know, the frustration that was expressed by our president suggested that they were keen to address the fact that we just, you know, aren't where we want to be at this point. So bringing in someone like Jeff Walsh, who's got so much experience and has a lot of knowledge of North Melbourne, having been at the club twice, wasn't it? And one of those times was during the 90s when we were quite successful, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that it's a good appointment, and I think, yeah, I think he'll take no prisoners, and I think we might see a few people perhaps depart the club. I mean, I'm hoping in some respects that one of them isn't David Noble, at least in the sense of, yeah, perhaps I think his tenure in terms of coach is he's not in a good position at the moment, obviously, but it would be a shame for the club to lose him completely, I think, because I think he's very much invested, and what he's had to go through, the pressure that he's been under and what he inherited, I think we need to sort of make sure that he's treated properly one way or another. So
yeah, that's going to be pretty tough by the sounds of it. Look, it's gone down a pretty bad road at the moment. I mean, it was only a few weeks ago that we had the CEO and even the president as much declaring confidence in him that, yeah, we sort of expected where we are. And now, you talked about the president sending a letter to the members, which we all got, saying that things are changing, and we're not happy with where we're at, and you know, it's last week was we broke a record, not the record that you sort of want, 10 losses in a row by 40 plus points, and unfortunately it's a results based industry. So you know, I mean, as much as we'd like to sort of say that we're rebuilding and so forth, it's not working at the moment, is it?
No, unfortunately not. And I mean, I think the circumstances have been fairly ordinary in terms of we still seem to be having issues with injuries and certainly not having Cunnington in the team for the entire season. I think that's really hurt us as well. So, yeah, it hasn't been ideal for Noble, and I don't know how much better another coach would go, because I mean, the thing is that I think what will happen is that he'll go out as coach, a new coach will come in that's experienced, we'll start getting players back, you know, Cunnington will come back, and then, you know, things will start to improve, and you sort of wonder, well, is there the potential that they could have improved whilst Noble was still coach? I guess that's a question that, you know, we're all kind of pondering at the moment. But I know that people are keen for change, and they're keen to bring in, you know, we want a big fish, I suppose, as far as the coach is concerned. And I think the club's under a lot of pressure to deliver on that front.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. It's pressure coming from supporters as well. You know, we see the tweets on social media and on Twitter, I should say, and Facebook and even Instagram. Yeah, supporters are becoming very disgruntled, basically because of the results, because it is a results based industry. You touched on injuries. I think another issue that he's really got to look at is our fitness and performance team, because we've had a lot of injuries this year and a lot of soft tissue injuries, which is a bit of a concern. And yes. I also feel that we didn't get, I reckon the first two or three rounds, we didn't look fit and probably haven't looked fit for most of the year compared to other teams. So they've got to look at that he's got to look at that as well, and whether there's got to be changes there, because we did get a new fitness team in at the start of the season and it doesn't look like it's worked too well, because, like you've seen round one, as early as round one, you know, Hawthorne ran all over us basically in the second half, and even Brisbane ran all over us in the second half. And we're just seeing that continual pattern throughout the year that we're sort of we're having bad spells during the games, and it tends to be second half football that we're really running out of league. So I think that's got to be an area that he's got to look at. And and you mentioned Ben Cunnington, and you know, we haven't had him for the last couple of years, and when we have, we've been quite a competitive football team, particularly second half of last year. I think where we finished, won three games, and we were a very different team. And even the year before, when COVID hit us, we started off that season okay. We beat St Kilda in the first round, and then we had a bit of a break, came back and beat GWS, who were one of the flag favourites, and then Ben Cunnington got injured after that, and then we just completely fell apart and haven't been the same football club since. So, I don't know what we're going to get back when he does come back. He's obviously had another issue with last week with a bit of a calf strain. So we don't know what version we're going to get back. If we get him back this year or next year in 2023, I mean, he's obviously had his a very big health battle. So, I don't know if he comes back the same player or comes back, a different version. I'm not too sure. We're certainly hoping he comes back the same player, because he'll be a big lift to the football club, and you'll make it a much happier place. I mentioned a couple of areas there. Do you think we need a big improvement in anything else, outside of coaching or anything like that, with this review?
I think, well, it's interesting what people are saying about Amalfio, about our CEO, that, sort of a rumour that, for example, if the likes of Clarkson was to come to North Melbourne, that one of the conditions would be that Amalfio is not the CEO. So I'm not sure what that sort of stems from. I mean, I haven't seen any evidence to suggest that he's doing a bad job, but certainly there's a lot of people that have a great dislike for him, and he's got a little bit of a, I guess, some of his previous jobs that he's had, he's kind of left under interesting circumstances. But having said that, he was there with Sonia Hood couple of weeks ago, you know, out amongst the fans, the dyed in the wool, you know, the general admission fans, I suppose you could describe them, you know, at the ground. So he's not afraid to sort of get in amongst it, and I thought that was really good. So I'm not sure about what the story is with him. I'm not prepared to sort of, you know, I don't sort of really have an opinion. I thought he was actually doing an okay job, so I don't know where that's come from. But presumably that is going to be examined as well, our administration or the executive as such. So, yeah.
I did hear that it's just going to be a football review with Jeff Walsh, and apparently the CEO is safe for the moment. I'm not too sure if they're going to make a decision, the board will make a decision on him at the end of the season or anything like that, if they want to retain him or if they want to let him go. Look, you mentioned it was probably a good choice of words saying that he's left previous jobs in an interesting way, because, he's had a bit of a reputation, and I don't know how true they are. You just only hear these words. So, and I suppose he's not a football person. He hasn't come from a football background. So I don't know if they want to look at getting a football person as a CEO that's been in at previous clubs or, you know, has a knowledge of, you know, a bit of experience, business and football experience in that regard. I'm not too sure. So I don't know if that, I'd say that's not the big reason why we're struggling on field though. But, I guess his reputation has come into question. So, you know, I mean, he might be looked at the end of the season. I'm not too sure if he's doing a good job or not. Well, he's not doing a good job, to be honest with you. So, yeah, but we'll see how we go. Look, we talked about, you know, how bad we're going on the field. We've touched on that. Do you think this list is as bad as you believe it is, or do you think it's underperforming to expectations? Like, I don't think the list is that bad. We should be 1-12 with a percentage of 50. What? Oh, yeah, it was 52 or so, whatever it is. Do you think it's as bad as we're going?
I don't think it's that bad a list. I still don't think we've got a lot of depth. But I think, again, you know, that's partly because of injuries. Like, you know, we can't take a trick as far as Phillips is concerned. So he's had a real struggle almost from day one in a way. But I think there's certainly a lot of potential. And we've had the likes of, you know, like Curtis Taylor's having a good year. And then, of course, Paul Curtis has been a bit of a revelation. And we've got some players to sort of come through from, you know, VFL. So there's potential there. We've got like McGuinness and Gota and guys like that. So who are doing okay, I think. So, and Tom Powell, I think, has been all right. Like, he's starting to sort of hit his straps again after a bit of a slow start. So, yeah, I don't think our list is too bad, but it kind of concerns me when you have, like, for example, I remember, was it a couple of weeks ago at David Noble's presser where he made that comment about, you know, you learn in junior footy that, you know, to man up and that sort of stuff. And it sort of seemed to me that our players weren't doing that and aren't doing that. And I don't know why that's the case, because it's sort of, I mean, I haven't played football, but isn't it footy 101, you know, to do that? So why haven't they been doing it? It's, you know, I know that there's talk that Noble's lost the players, but again, you're sort of getting mixed messages on that front, because you're getting the likes of Goldstein coming out recently and saying, no, it's all good. It's all good with Noble. So, you know, what's actually happening? We don't know, do we, really, what happens behind closed doors ultimately?
No, of course not. We can only judge on what we see. I remember that when he did say that. And, yeah, it almost looks like last week was a bit better. We didn't lose the uncontested possession count as bad as we did before the bye round. I think that was against GWS.
Yes.
It was minus 116 or something like that. And even before that, it was, it was something ridiculous amounts of uncontested possession. Whereas last week, I think it was only minus 16, which is an improvement. But, it's a pretty simple sort of message that you either play on your man or your zone, or you play a zone. And at the moment, it looked like I went to that GWS game, and that first half in particular, a lot of players look confused where they should zone off or they should play on a man. There was players talking to each other. Luke McDonald at quarter time, I can't remember who he's talked to. It might have been Jai Simpkin sort of directing instruction and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, in times like this, I would have thought that you just keep it simple and just play on your man and try and beat him. And then once we start getting a bit of form back, then you get to the more complicated side of the game. But, at the moment, it's very confusing for players, coaches and supporters as well. And it's probably very frustrating for supporters also. Mm-hmm. In saying all that, like we sort of said, we're not underperforming. Should we get a priority pick then? Because that's been a bit of a talk the last few weeks with how uncompetitive we are. And I retweeted someone today. Oh, I can't remember who it was. I'll actually find it for you now.
Talking about the top end priority picks in drafts in years gone by? Because I've got that right in front of me, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, because the Demons have had three. The Blues have had three priority picks in the top, you know, Pies, Hawks, and so forth. And we haven't had any.
No.
Do you think we deserve one? And do you think we deserve one that's pick two if we finish last, which probably looks likely now?
Yes, I think we do. And I know there's going to be an almighty pylon if we get it, but it's a case of, well, have a look at these clubs that have received these picks. It's kind of how low does North have to sink to qualify? You know, I'm not sure why the sort of bar is so much higher for us and seemingly than some of these other clubs. It just doesn't really seem fair to me. So I think we are entitled. I think we should get priority picks. Yeah, and I think we're at that point now. So
yeah, it'd be nice. I'm not too sure if the AFL will go down that path. Like, if they'll give us, you know, a pick two. I mean, I certainly hope so.
Yeah,
I mean, it might be pick 10 or 11, which is fine. But you know, look, at the end of the day, we can blame ourselves for a poor list build. You know, players just didn't develop in their mid 20s, and we had to let them go, and we had to restart again. But a lot of these teams did the same thing as well. You know, Carlton were dreadful for a number of years. Melbourne were pretty; they were rebuilding for 8 or 9 years. And there's a number of others. So yeah, I've always been a big advocate. No, I don't want help from the AFL, but at the moment, I'll take what I can get. So
I think we're all sort of at that point where it's just kind of, yeah, okay, going to have to perhaps swallow our pride a little bit here and get a priority pick finally.
Yeah, it would be nice, to be honest with you. We've had a couple of tough years. Last season, Wooden Spoon.
We're copping heaps anyway. You know what I mean, in terms of predominantly from the footy media, but certainly, you know, you're getting other teams, other club supporters who were, you know, getting into us anyway. So it's kind of, well, who cares? Who cares if we get a priority pick? Because it's kind of, you know, we're already sort of being treated like trash in the media and on social media. So what, you know, it's just if it helps our cause and helps us sort of claw our way back a bit sooner than we might, well, let's do it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it depends at the end of the season. There might be a couple of players that, like a Cameron Zerho, might say, look, I want to leave. That might push them to more so, look, we'll give you a priority pick now because you're losing players as well. So to try and rebuild the club, because AFL will help if you're really, really struggling. They did it with Gold Coast not long ago, a couple of years ago, where they'll lose, and fair enough, they lost a number of players to other clubs, so they gave them extra picks up the top, which they got Matt Rowell and Noah Anderson and a number of others. So, yeah, I mean, we can only ask a question at the end of the day, and if we need help, we need help. So
that's right. I don't think it does any harm, so.
Yeah. Well, the AFL don't want uncompetitive teams. They want an even balanced competition, so, we'll have to wait and see at the end of the season. They won't decide anything soon, so we'll see how we go with that. We'll briefly touch on the game last week. How did you see it against Adelaide? Obviously, you know, another disappointing result, a 10-goal loss in the end. How did you see it all?
I didn't watch too much of it. I had a family sort of event over the weekend. Funnily enough, with my parents, and it was my father's birthday, a significant birthday, and my father and my mum and my brother are all Essendon supporters. So that's interesting, isn't it, to sort of be a North Melbourne supporter in an Essendon family? But so I didn't really sort of, you know, watch much of the game because I was doing was, you know, like doing the old check the AFL app and looked okay at the start, and then we sort of kind of fell away, and Yeah, I just couldn't really see much value in going back and sort of absolutely examining it to the nth degree, you know what I mean? And especially when the game was played, it sort of really didn't afford me much time to go back and look, to be honest. So I don't know. It was sort of almost one of those, you know, you went in with a little bit of optimism. I thought we stood a little bit of a chance, a bit of a sneaky chance. But, yeah, it didn't work out that way. And, I mean, I know that there's sort of controversy as to, you know, Mackay being moved forward. That was criticised. But maybe it was a case of the forward move wasn't such a bad idea, but maybe he shouldn't have been left there as long as he was. What do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that one. I didn't mind trying it because you might be able to find something in the future. Like a Harry Taylor played a pretty good role for Geelong. When they needed a goal, they'll swing him forward or something, or when the game needed to be won. And that might be an option for him, like in years to come. Like if we're a couple of goals down and we need to win a game, well, we'll throw him forward. I didn't like how we used him though. He was the number one target, whereas Nick Larkey was the clear number two. I think we only used Nick Larkey three times for the game as a target, which is well below what he should be getting. Like Ben Mackay should be, you know, almost used three times, and Nick Larkey is the other option, as your number one option. But just the way we used it didn't. It wasn't set up too well. One of those things, because their key forwards got on top. Like Taylor Walker kicked six goals, a couple of lucky ones too that he couldn't do much about Josh Walker. So, at the end of the day, it's probably a three-goal game for Taylor Walker, and that's not the reason we won or lost the game. I don't think it was that huge of a difference. But I'm happy to try things when you're struggling. So,
yeah, exactly.
I didn't think it was as bad as previous weeks. Like, I know it was a 10-goal loss and another big loss, but I didn't think it was as bad as GWS, where it was just, letting the other team dictate the terms. The uncontested possession was a bit better. We got repeat inside 50 entries as well during the game. There's periods of there. We just couldn't capitalise, unfortunately. So, still at the end of the day, you know, like I've stated a number of times, it is a results-based industry and a 10-goal loss. I wanted to talk to you about Tom Power. Like you mentioned him before. Now, I put out an Instagram post that about the amount of time he's spent in the midfield. I think in the last 5 weeks, the most he's spent in there is 19% of game time in the midfield. He's not getting his opportunity in midfield. He's playing pretty much predominantly as a half forward. I think he spent 7% of the time in the centre square on a weekend. Should we be prioritising him over his development, a second-year player, potential to be a really good inside midfielder, over a Jed Anderson or a Hugh Greenwood? I don't think Hugh Greenwood's going to be part of your next good team. We know what he gives us. And Jed Anderson, I see him as a half forward, in years to come when we do become a good team. So, I'm just curious to your thoughts. What do you think we should be prioritising Tom Powell in the midfield right now? I mean, we keep talking about, and he keeps talking about, we're rebuilding. Are we rebuilding the right way with Tom Powell?
I think it is time to sort of let him loose in the midfield because, I think one of the issues that we're having is that his disposal efficiency, that's a real issue with, I don't know if I've brought this up before, but I think Jai's disposal efficiency has been really poor, been really, really low, and you can't afford that when you're coming out of the middle to just sort of almost, panic and just like spray and pray almost, it's not good enough. You've got to have somebody and somebody like Tom Powell who has the composure that he does and he makes good decisions as well. That's what you do need in your engine room, don't you really?
Yeah, I think he deserves the opportunity. Like, he should be spending 60% of the game in the middle, and he's very rarely getting that. And, we're seeing what he's capable of last season and even the preseason this season. He did a couple of really nice things, and I just feel like he's not getting utilised the right way. Yeah, I'd rather see Jed Anderson play half forward than top out, to be honest with you, right now.
Yeah, that's a fair call. That's a fair call. Because, again, Jed's sort of not – he's not that sort of efficient with the ball either. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a few of them, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we've got sort of too many, really. I think that's a bit of an issue. And to go back to what you were saying about, you know, is it our list or is it the – I still think that I can still see what Noble's trying to do, and we haven't got the cattle yet that are capable of executing it, and he's sticking by it, right? But yeah, it's just we obviously are sort of in a hurry. We want to move forward faster than his program will take us at the moment, I suppose. So, yeah.
It's going to be, I mean, at the end of the day, look, he's sticking to his guns. I agree with that. But at the end of the day, it might cost him his job too if he keeps going this way. And you got to have that ability to adjust. If things aren't working, then you've got to come up with a new idea. And, yeah, look, I mean, there were signs last week that there were improvements in a few things, like repeat inside entries, inside 50, and the uncontested possession wasn't as bad as previous week. But, yeah, like you said, a disposal efficiency last week, 64%. Mm. I just felt like it was just mainly through our slow ball movement. We just go back into old habits when things aren't going our way, when we turn the ball over. We start going long down the line and playing, really boring, predictable football, and that's a real concern. And
get intercepted, and then the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of look at someone like Collingwood. Teams are reacted to them because they're such an attacking team. It's the first season under a new coach, and they're very excited. They've always had that. Nathan Buckley instilled a defensive, side to Collingwood. They've still got that now, but Craig McRae has really instilled that offensive side, and I feel like that's a lot more scarier, because you're always capable of scoring and scoring quickly, right, with quick ball movement and, relentless attack on the opposition, whereas we're just, it's just almost, playing really safe football if things aren't going our way, especially when teams get two or three goals and, we're just letting them dictate terms. So that's... And this week could be, if you go to those old habits against a team that wants to win and win well at home, it's going to be, you're probably looking at another big loss as well. So
yeah, that could be quite scary if we do that. And it's a shame in a way because you've seen signs of it over this season. Like there's been, they've been few and far between where you can sort of see what we could achieve, I suppose. But it always seems to be that chain always just invariably gets broken and we just can't get it down to, can't get it down to Larky or whatever. It's something, we turn it over and then it comes back again. And, it's disappointing to watch as a supporter.
And the game pretty much predominantly gets played now back half as well. We can't get the ball past the centre square half the time. We kind of get back to hack kicks and, the teams are set up behind the ball and they just get another inside 50 entry and puts a lot of pressure on our defence as well.
And I think, having said that our defence, I think, has actually done a pretty good job given that, the ball's been down their way so many times. I think they've actually performed reasonably well, I really do, given the pressure they've been under.
Well, they're probably exhausted as well because they're working overtime.
That's right.
It makes it a bit hard on that as well. So, obviously, after the game, there was a lot of controversy. Pretty much straight after the game, Taryn Thomas has reacted to a person that had a go at him about his performance on Sunday. How did you see that?
I think that's the old sort of two sides to every story because it turns out and Noble came out and defended Taryn and said explained that there'd been It was his grandmother. There'd been a death in the family, and he was struggling. I'm not sure whether or not, given that perhaps they should have played him, but maybe he thought he'd be okay and then he wasn't. But you've also got to be a little bit careful, I suppose, with what you say on social media, because it makes you sound like you're a bit of a privileged, overpaid footballer. But I don't like it when supporters, it's like personally attack players on social media. I just think that's poor form. I really do. I mean, think what you like, and you know, have your chats amongst your Twitter groups and Facebook groups. But to go on social media where, you know, in a way everybody can see it, I don't like that. I don't think it achieves anything. What does it actually do? You know, and it can have a detrimental effect on the player's mental state. I mean, there's been a lot said about that of late. So why go there? You know, we're members and we're stakeholders, but I don't think we're entitled to do that. What do you think?
No, I agree. You probably shouldn't. Yeah, you shouldn't have a go at someone for having a poor performance. But I can hear an echo in the background there. Sorry. Yeah, I don't think we should be having a go at players, and a personal thing as well. But yeah, even his comment was a personal attack on the player, so it's not on the player, on the individual person, saying that I'm getting, I'll always make 10 times more money than you will, or something to that degree. Which is, you got to be careful what you say as well.
I agree. The response wasn't appropriate either, but.
Yeah.
He's a bit, you know, bit silly in a way. Well, there's sort of been plenty of those on display the last few weeks, but you know, he'll learn. But he's still quite young, and I mean, maybe he does need to sort of be counselled a little bit about the amount of time he is spending on social media. Apparently he's out and about quite a bit on the old Instagram and promoting various things. But, people could argue that he needs to be focusing a bit more on his football. But that's something that, you know, the club needs to deal with, isn't it? It's not up to us to give advice.
Yeah, 100%.
Because we don't really know what is ultimately going on in their heads. You don't know what's going on between the, you know, the walls behind closed doors at the club. Who knows? I mean, North's actually, I think in some ways it's admirable that they do keep their counsel seemingly more than some other clubs do. So you don't really get a lot leaking out of North. Certainly nobody leaks to Caroline Wilson, that's for sure.
No, who would? That's the last person you want to do it to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was probably more concerned about his game rather than actually his Instagram reply. But, yeah, at the end of the day, he'll learn from it. He's still a young kid. He's only 22, so he's just got to keep growing.
He definitely needs to lift his game, that's for sure, because he's got enormous potential. But, you know, potential's a dirty word, isn't it, in that, you know, if you don't realise it, he needs to work hard and needs to contribute. And, you know, even if he's not having that great a game form-wise, you know, do your bit. Like, you know, he's shown that he's good at tackling and, you know, he can do those other things, those one percenters. And that, you know, and again, you know, it's hard not to go back to the likes of, you know, John Kennedy saying, you know, do something. I tackled, all that sort of stuff. Well, I smothered. Just one percenters, you know, get yourself back into the game. And these players are all on good coin. They really are. So, I don't understand, even if we're not performing well, why you give up, I suppose, in a way. I don't get that mindset.
Yeah, his body language wasn't great on the weekend, so yeah, that's obviously disappointing as well. So we'll move on from Taryn Thomas. We'll discuss team changes this week. I'll quickly bring that up. It's Charlie Lazaro, Jack Marnie, Lockie Young coming to the team. Okay. Out of the team go Aiden Bonner, injured. I didn't hear much about that.
Heard of hamstring.
Oh, hamstring again. Jeez.
Yeah, and potentially at that clinic.
Can't catch a break. Bailey Scott, injured. With a hip, Flynn Perez omitted. He was a medical sub last week.
Okay.
And Thomas, who we just talked about, out with personal reasons, obviously needs a week off as well. What do you make of the changes?
So Lockie Young's in. So
yeah, he came straight back in after suspension. So, yeah.
Okay.
Not happy with that?
I'm a bit surprised that they haven't sort of gone with – I mean, there was an article from North – talking about potentially, you know, Matt McGuinness coming in or Josh Gota. But what about Hayden? He's not – Kyron Hayden hasn't been brought in either. Is that right?
No, he's emergency. So, no.
Oh, emergency. Rightio.
Yeah. Well, at least Geelong have got lost Tom Stewart, and Joel Selwood has been rested this game, but they get Patrick Dangerfield back. So that probably okay. doesn't help.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. Yeah, I'm a bit surprised that we didn't sort of try one of those. Well, I guess two, because Hayden's emergency, but McGuinness or Gota, maybe. What do you think?
Yeah, I with Jackson Archer there, maybe they're just worried that they're probably, you know, going a bit too young in the back line. I'm not too sure with another McGuinness, a light framed player as well. There's no rush with those guys. I've got no problem with that.
That's a good point. And I suppose you want some experienced players around Archer, so that he's learning from them, and he's got that support from them whilst he's sort of learning the craft at the highest level. So that's reasonable. I mean, he showed some good. I understand he showed some promising signs being his debut game, so that's fantastic. So I hope he just, you know, keeps getting better and better, and fingers crossed doesn't get injured. We'll see what happens there. But who's going to nullify Tomahawk and Cameron?
Do you think Ben McKay plays forward again this week then?
Oh, I reckon he might go back into defence.
I hope so. Yeah, I think he'll have to play on Tom Hawkins. They had a good battle last time they played. I thought it was a bit of an even battle. I think Tom Hawkins kicked a few goals, but Ben McKay certainly intercepted a lot of marks. And you've probably got Aiden Corr, will probably go Jeremy Cameron, which leaves Josh Walker as that intercept player. And, as play on a third forward that comes across. That's probably what I'd go with. And, I don't want to see Ben McKay played forward this week because the ball probably won't get there much. So it's almost a bit of a waste. I'm happy to leave Nick Larkey in a forward 50 and go a bit smaller with the forward line, go, with Curtis Taylor, Jaden Stevenson. I would have liked to see Phoenix Spicer get a game. Ahead of Jack Marnie. I would have liked to have given that a go. But, we can't always get what we want. And I'm happy to see Charlie Lazaro finally get an opportunity too. Hopefully he can get a bit of midfield time with Tom Power this week.
I think that'd be good because he showed a lot of promise when he, with his first few games and then, just kind of – fell away, or I don't really know what happened, but he looked pretty exciting and looked a good player. So, I agree. And he had a good game in the VFL last week, didn't he?
Yeah, he had 20-odd touches. They had a good win in the VFL last week. They're quite good performers against a pretty average team. And that's probably why Matt McGuinness and Josh Gotis probably stood out. Maybe they want – I'm not so sure who the VFL play this week, but maybe they'll probably play someone better, so that might give a bit more of a measure. Other players like Josh Goaters and Matt McGuinnesses to see if they're ready against better opposition, and maybe they might be in weeks to come. So, we'll we'll see how we go. Yeah, I would have liked to see Phoenix Spicer get a game, just to, with a bit of pace, get put that defensive pressure on the forward half against, like a Buse and, a number of others, rebounding defenders that they got. So, yeah, I would have liked to have seen that. But, that'll be at least another week away. So, it is what it is.
It is a big step, isn't it? Again, that was a comment that Noble made a while ago. The difference, the step up from VFL to AFL, it sort of too carried away, I suppose, and especially with what you're saying, that their opposition wasn't, what, the Bullets weren't that strong. So whether that's, that is a real indicator, a true indication of where they're at. There's nowhere else they can go. There's nowhere else they can go. But, I guess they're just mindful that there needs to be sort of, some consistently good games, and especially against some of the stronger VFL teams before they get a call up. Yeah.
Are you surprised about Callum Coleman-Jones? He played very well last week in the reserves as well. Like, I just talked the reserves down, but like with Ben McKay, if he goes back, I thought it might have been an opportunity for Callum Coleman-Jones to be that second forward to help out Nick Larkey this week. Are you surprised he didn't get an opportunity?
Again, I heard that he played pretty well.
We're paying him a lot of money to sit, play reserves football at the moment. So,
true.
We're paying him $500,000 and, big name recruit that came from Richmond. I know they're scarred from the round one game against Hawthorn, which kind of hurt us when we played those three balls. But, I think it might be, we lose by 10 goals every week anyway. So you might as well give it another chance, to be honest with you, at this moment. What else are you going to lose?
Yeah, I agree. I think I would have given him a go this week. Yeah, as you say, what have we got to lose? And might actually be a bit of a revelation. I mean, it might be a little bit like what happened when, I don't know if you remember, Nick Larkey's first game. He was like a rabbit. And so, maybe sort of some time away, some time in the VFL. I mean, I know that CCJ's played senior footy, but not much in the scheme of things. So, maybe the time in the VFL, has done him good, but maybe they feel he needs that bit more time. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, they're almost waiting for an injury to either Goldstein or Sherry. I mean, that combination's actually probably the last couple of games has probably worked effectively. That's probably one area we're doing okay in is the ruck situation. We've always been good in the ruck areas, even before Todd Goldstein came along. We've always had Hamish McIntosh. Mark Porter was quite handy there for a couple of years from Carlton, and a number of others. So, we've never had an issue with our ruck players. We've had some real beauties. So,
I think Sherry will be good. I know he cops it a bit, but I think he'll be good. And I think he's really knuckled down and he's trying to learn the craft. So I think we should give him a go.
Well, apparently his attitude's been first class in the reserves too. He's been, very good with the young guys. So hopefully he does get that opportunity in the coming weeks, because I'd hate for him to just play reserves for the whole season. Seems to be a bit of a waste, because he's a best 22 player, best 18 player, but, he's just not getting a game based on matchups. In saying that, how can we be competitive this week against Geelong?
Oh.
Or can we be competitive?
I don't know. As I said, I think, what you were saying about sort of going back into our shells a little bit, I think we need to, maybe it's easier said than done, I know, but maybe be a bit bold. Maybe sort of don't be sort of as hesitant and I don't know, see if we can sort of have some pace, moving the ball and have a bit of an element of surprise. I'm not sort of really sure what else we can do. Yeah, it's a difficult one, but this thing about, you know, marking your man and this sort of stuff, just don't let it turn into like a training drill, and, you know, and wear witches' hats. It's just horrible to watch that. It really is. So, what do you think we can do to sort of mitigate? It's going to be very difficult.
Oh, look, I think we've got to take the game on a bit more than what we've been doing. Move the ball with a bit more purpose. Try and get a bit more pace in the forward line as well. Try and lock the ball in there a bit better. And not just let Geelong dictate the terms. I have a feeling we will be competitive for a quarter or two. We'll do okay. But the problem is when things go awry, we go back to bad habits of just kicking long down the line, and, you know, no real structure and no real, you know, presence up forward, and, you know, no real purpose or plan going forward. That's the concern. We just can't sustain it for long enough, and it's going to be hard against Geelong, who have got, you know, I mean, they want to finish top four, and it's very tight between second and fifth, so they'll look at this game as a, you know, as especially this week, because they've got a tough draw after this week, that they really want to get a percentage boost. So, yeah, it could get pretty ugly, especially up their way, which they're notoriously very good up in Geelong. So, it might be a tough battle, I think. I'm hoping for a bit of rain. That might help us a bit, just to keep the scores a bit lower. But in saying that, we might not kick a goal if it does rain. So, yeah.
That's true. It's certainly a fortress, and in terms of their experience and stability, and it's just like night and day, really, isn't it? The difference between the two teams. So yeah, they're going to be quite formidable, I think. But having said that, it's sort of like, I know you can't really say we've got nothing to lose, because absolutely. But I think what you're saying is to, you know, to take it on. Well, I think that supporters would be happy with that if we could do that. Oh. Sort of show some heart, and I know that they all care, and I think it's unfair to sort of think that they're not sort of trying their best, but yeah, maybe just that little bit, you know, push that little bit harder and play for each other that a little bit more than maybe they've been doing. So, you know, because when you get sort of like players kind of telling each other off and this sort of stuff, that doesn't sort of speak well. But, you know, hopefully that overnight did help in terms of, you're not going to expect sort of an immediate turnaround. That's unrealistic. But as you say, they played a little bit better last week. But, yeah, maybe they can just play that bit better again, and at least, you know, it'll be a respectable result. And yeah, what that result is, what's a respectable result? I know you're going to ask.
I'd be happy with if we could see 20 goals, if we kick 12, you know, like a bit more of an entertainment game. I felt like last week I was falling asleep halfway through the last quarter because our ball movement was just so slow and predictable. Like, you know, just, you know, like take the game on a little bit. Like I watched, I know this is a different sport, but I watched England against New Zealand the other day, the third test. Yeah, you know, I think New Zealand made about 300, and New Zealand was England was 6 for 50. I mean, I thought, stuff it. You know, they just started hitting out, and they started attacking, and they all of a sudden almost got the first innings. I think they passed them in the first innings just by hitting out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just got to be, you know, that little bit brave. And at the moment, we're not being brave at all at the moment. So we're not dying wondering. That's for sure. No. We're just sticking to what we know, and it's not working. So I don't see the harm in trying something else. Where we've got to try and score, and that's the main issue. Like, there's a lot of issues, you know, but the main thing is we've got to try and, you know, get a score on the board. Whether it's 12 goals, aim for that, and whatever they score, you know, if they score double that, well, so be it.
Yeah, you know? Fair enough. play with a bit more freedom.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it might.
Last year, we did quite well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you've seen that game against Carlton where we really started opening up. Where we kicked 7 goals to none in the third quarter, where we showed what we were capable of. That's a long time ago, obviously, now, and a lot of things have changed. But it's going to be interesting come Saturday night, anyway. And who knows? If another tough loss, well, hopefully. David Noble's still got a job next week, so it's always getting to that stage now where he's week by week now. So,
I think we'll see.
In saying all that, what's your final prediction, Jane? I assume you expect to win.
not quite. I don't know. I reckon if we got beaten by 6 goals, I'd be pretty happy with that. It'll probably be more than that, but
no, I think so.
yeah. I just hope it's not 10. I guess maybe between 6 and 9 goals.
Yeah, that seems to be the norm for us at the moment, around that mark, around about 47 to 62 or something like that. That seems to be our margin. Around that mark. So, I think we'll get a win. And the only reason I say that, because I reckon Geelong will have a 19th player, we'll do a head count, and they'll get their score, go back to zero in the last quarter, and we'll win that way. So. that's my thinking anyway.
I like your thinking, yeah.
Yeah. We've just got to keep, got to keep positive in situations like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you want your team to win every time you watch them. But some improvement, like a step up again from last week would be good.
A more competitive margin would be, which under 40 points will be good, so we don't keep that streak going, the VFL streak, whatever it is. So, that'll be ideal. But
that might show us in a way, I suppose, ultimately, where things are at between the players and David Noble.
I mean, it's an interesting one. I mean, it kind of looks half like some of the players have are not invested and probably are not playing for the coach. But, it's hard to say, from the outside looking in. I don't know what goes on inside their heads, like none of us do at the end of the day. So we'll see how we go. Did you want to add anything else, Jane, before I let you go?
No, I think that's about it. And I think it is a good move. It was a good move getting Jeff Walsh. It's sort of going to break this kind of almost like deadlock situation that we're in, I think. I think it was needed. And apparently, he's capable of being quite ruthless, and perhaps that's what we need. And I think Sonia Hood, I think it was a smart move from her to bring him on board, because I think she wants things to change. I mean, she's quite obviously very passionate about the club. But I don't think she's anyone's fool either. I think she's quite astute. So to bring in Jeff Walsh and perhaps make some decisions or recommendations that perhaps she's sort of in a way got in mind herself, but to have somebody validate, if you know what I'm saying, I think that's a smart move. So that's just my opinion. But, yeah. So, yeah, I think we're on the right track as far as that's concerned, but then we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, it almost looks like he's been sent there to, make a few changes. But, we'll see how we go. Anyways, Jane, I won't hold you up anymore. I've kept you on long enough. Thanks very much for coming on the show, and I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
I hope so, and have a good night, Dean, and thanks for having me on.
Thanks to Jane for coming on the show once again. That's it for this episode. The AFLW draft happened yesterday, so I'll do a bit of a preview of that in the coming days, probably next week if I take a guess. I don't know much about those individual players. I'll look into it more. Obviously, there's a lot going on with the men's team, so I'm doing that a little bit more at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, that's not far away. It's coming in end of August. So, what, a couple months away before that season starts for the girls as well. Thanks to all the people that retweet, comment, share the show with your friends. I really appreciate it. The show is growing, so I'm very happy with how it's going, and very happy that all you lovely listeners are helping it grow as well. So hopefully we can put in a good performance this week against Geelong. It's going to be a tough game, so I'm not too sure how we're going to go, but it is what it is, I guess. I've kind of lost for words. I've been talking enough shit for tonight, so I'll pretty much better end it right now. So anyways, that's it for me. I will leave a shout out to Alistair Clarkson. Bye for now.